Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Got to be honest with you. I mean, I feel like that I am a break down the fourth wall, 100% honest kind of a guy. I'm jacked. I'm juiced. I'm fired up. I don't know if there's a way to calm me down tonight. I don't know if you want to try to get my – because, like, you guys want to send me, like, one of those California gummies. That might be good. But by the end of hour one, it might turn into, like, the Joe Rogan experience. Bottom line is, the boss man, Scott Shapiro, called. And he said, well, we text. We're modern. We're youths. And he said, listen, Jason Smith is out on Friday, Chris Plank. I know you're busy, but could you potentially fill in with Steve DeSager, Iowa Sam, and Lita Lapp? And I said, are you kidding me? Book it. I don't care how. I don't care where. I don't care when. Let's go.
Oh, you sounded like Arnie Spanier there just at the end.
I know, Jimmy DeSager.
Your Sunday night co-host. Hello,
what's
Chris Blake. I thought I was going to have to come on like Arnie and back you up and say, let's go.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Now, the only thing that you could do is if you drop the old be safe out there. Be safe out there.
And
that's what, if you guys want a true breaking down of the fourth wall.
Wow.
Every single time before the show starts on Sunday night, and I'm pretty sure this carries over to Saturday. Now, Iowa Sam, do you work with Arnie and Aaron on Saturday night, or is that
no,
is that Ryan?
That's actually Don Brown.
Don, okay.
He's actually out this weekend. It'll be Alex Teichert. But
okay.
I've gotten a chance to work with Arnie a few times. Always a pleasure.
So it's a pretty constant thing, right? Be safe out there. Let's be safe out there.
Yeah, like, he may say it slightly different, but for our airwaves, I'll just say yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So anyway, when I got that call and I knew I was going to get to hang out with, three-fifths of our Sunday night crew, I said, let's do it. And anytime you can slide in Iowa Sam, which, by the way, Iowa Sam, fresh off a trip to Ames, Iowa a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
So we can share stories. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. A softball trip or
yeah,
something? Okay.
That is,
yeah,
that's a really long road trip. That's one of those that about halfway through it, you realize, could have flown here. Could have made it much easier.
Could have done it, yeah.
Could have made it much
easier.
Driving. But no, we've got so much cool stuff to talk about tonight. And, you know, Mike's been out, so Jason decided to take that three-day weekend. Don't blame him. So we get a chance to break it down tonight. And, I mean, it's funny because Justin Frostberg and I were sharing notes, and, of course, he's the man, the myth, the legend behind this show. And we just started going through all the different things that we could hit on today. I mean, Steve, the Dodgers got their World Series rings.
I don't think the phrase hit on is probably the proper one since we're going to be talking about Deshaun Watson this hour.
Boy, that is a very fair point, too.
just thought I'd bring that up.
Several topics that we can – I don't even know if dive into would be a good way to look at it either.
Broach?
How about this? Broach. Let's go with that. We got many topics we can broach, including the Dodgers getting their World Series rings today and thinking back to, you know, this being able to be a celebration that happens in front of fans – you know, and celebrated in Los Angeles at Chavez Ravine when we didn't get a postseason game, at least in the championship series or the World Series in Chavez Ravine. So we'll
and
get
no
into that.
Parade in L.A., of course, but they had, I think it was 15,000 there. And yep. So on the same yep. day of the Giants home opener where Brian Stowe, the injured fan from outside Dodger Stadium a decade ago, he underhanded through their first pitch in the Bay Area today. You had the Dodgers getting their World Series rings and celebrating, as you say, with fans before
That's right.
today. It was sensational.
Hold on. I just hit the wrong button. There we go. Sorry. I was trying to play with my equipment, and there's another out of context, and I realized I'd hit the wrong button. See, Iowa Sam's very worried because I have a new piece of equipment that I'm using. It's very fancy, and I haven't quite figured it all out yet, so I'm willing to bet
that's
at some
dangerous.
Point.
Yeah.
At some point, Steve, I will probably disconnect us. I'm just giving you a heads up right now. But we'll get into all the celebration in Los Angeles. DeSager mentioned it coming up at the bottom of this hour. When I get a chance to do a show during the week, I have certain dudes that I count on, certain people that mean a lot to me that can help educate us, because I always think to myself, when I'm listening during the week, what do I want? What do I want to get from Fox Sports Radio? I want to be entertained. I want to be educated, and I want to maybe hear or learn something that I didn't already know. So at the bottom of this hour, we'll try to educate ourselves up on what exactly was Rusty Harden's goal today whenever Dan Lust joins us, because I know, DeSager, you've been digging into this over the last whatever. I mean, now that we're about 5, 6, 7 hours since Rusty Harden has had this press conference today, I'm still sitting here some 7 to 8 hours later trying to figure out exactly what was the goal. I mean, I don't know. And Rusty Harden's a brilliant man. He's made a lot more money than I'll ever make in my life. He's tried a lot more cases than I'll ever have an opportunity to try. And
but
again,
when people already have a recent bad opinion of the Texans quarterback, and then Deshaun Watson's own lawyer says there were some consensual encounters, referring to some of the women who have filed lawsuits. Well, okay.
Yeah. I listened to that and I thought, what are we doing? So I count on my man, Dan Lust, to join us. He's coming up at the bottom of this hour at Sports Law Lust on Twitter. Yes, I know he was on with Gottlieb earlier today, but I can't get enough of this guy. So Dan Lust is coming up. And then in hour number two, I think DeSager knows this from the time that we spend together, not just on the weekends, but, you know, for many years at Fox Sports Radio. I love the draft. I love the draft process. I love everything about offseason team building in the NFL.
Oh, NFL. I thought you were talking maybe the baseball draft or people's fantasy drafts.
If
anybody's heard Chris Plank, I mean, even issues. For maybe 5-6 minutes, they aware that you are massively, probably in an unhealthy manner, into the NFL draft.
Okay, so can I tell you, and by the way, so that's my tease to say John Middlecoff is joining us coming up at about, 10:15? Ideal in Central Time.
Yeah,
I'm
don't
sorry.
Do that.
So 11:15 Eastern, John Middlecoff will join us, 8:15 Pacific. He's in the Bay Area, 3 and Out podcast. So this is how bad I am, Steve, with the draft.
Well, it's less than 3 weeks. It's worth talking about. Go to it.
Well, you don't want to say that, because on my way here, not only did I listen to John Middlecoff's podcast, I listened to Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You, another one of our Fox Sports family members who apparently, what was it, Frostberg? It's too late. It was too late for you, Schwartz? You're on the East Coast. This isn't that late of a show, man. Come on. What are we doing? But he couldn't come on tonight because it was too late. But so I listened to his podcast. We got a lot to get to on the draft side. So anyway, how bad is it, DeSager? I've got 2 mock 7-round drafts that I went through that got me mad. Now, exactly. That shows you a level of probably insanity.
You thought there should have been a different Mr. Irrelevant on some of the 7th-round final picks?
I'm thinking to myself, you know, the work that goes into, I mean, it's hard enough to just do like a first round mock draft, right? That's hard enough. When you're doing 7 rounds, I mean, I'm not good at math, but you know, just, and there's compensatory picks that are in there. So 7 times 32 just at its core is what, like 220 something. So you're trying to figure out almost 250, 260 picks. Why am I even giving this my time? Why am I even doing that, Steve? So that was my preparation for draft talk tonight, listening to our buddy Jeff Schwartz, listening to John Middlecoff, and then, of course, reading a 7-round mock draft that just absolutely positively had me triggered. So I got that going for us.
Can we say going into tonight. The draft, and again, it's less than 3 weeks until round number one, and we're going to talk heavy draft just over an hour from now. Is it safe to say maybe quarterbacks each of the first 3 picks, and then we have no idea about the Atlanta Falcons at number 4? Is that safe?
I think the best way to put it is the draft really starts at 4. The question is, what's the – well, we know Trevor Lawrence is 1. Is it Wilson 2? Yeah, Trevor Wilson's 1 to Jacksonville. Is it Zach Wilson 2 to the Jets? Is it then a slam dunk that now it's McCorkle Jones or Trey Lance?
People who watched Alabama last year are saying, who is McCorkle Jones, please?
His name, folks. That's how we address him now. He is McCorkle from here on out.
Quarterback.
But the thing is – we don't know the order, but we know the position. So I would agree with you on that, Steve. So why am I just sitting here forgetting John Middlecoff's name coming up in a couple of hours from now? And then, see, it's a Friday tradition here on Fox Sports Radio on the Jason Smith Show. with Mike Harmon, his best friend, is that they talked to Todd Furman. And in the middle of their conversation with Todd Furman, Jason, kind of Arnie-esque, will have some sort of wild draft scenario, or excuse me, wild Vegas, listen, of drafts on my mind, wild Vegas bet or some sort of prop that he wants to throw out there. I don't have anything of that nature, but we do have Todd Furman, and I guess maybe we could talk some Masters gambling. There's odds out already for next season in college football and pro football. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the NBA season's full blow. So we got a busy guest list today. Great job, Justin. Great job, Lee, in hooking us up. We'll get to all that coming up tonight. But, Steve, as we kick things off, you would think we would want to start with the Masters. And, you know, I mean, Tiger Woods isn't there, so it's always kind of hard for me. And it's been a great leaderboard, so I don't want to complain about it. But it's not just really capturing my imagination. What I can't help is really wanting to shift my attention tonight in the first couple of segments we have. Can I use the term controversy in talking about what's going on with Trevor Bauer? Can we use the term
potential controversy, certainly.
Potential controversy is the best way to put it. So let me just dive into this head first. What did you think of Dave Roberts' reaction today to the report from Ken Rosenthal and The Athletic that that Major League Baseball has confiscated some of the baseballs, and it seems as if the target is Trevor Bauer right now? Though, Steve, there's several other Major League Baseball pitchers that are involved in this too.
Well, and there are plenty of baseballs that get taken just as samples this year, especially that baseball is looking to make sure that baseballs aren't being doctored. They say they're going to start actually enforcing that rule. Trevor Bauer rightfully complains that the report comes out and his name gets mentioned because he was, you know, people were suspicious last year. Let's just put that on the table. And, you know, spin rates and such things. And he did win a Cy Young with an ERA of 1-something last year before he came to the Dodgers. There are other pitchers involved and other baseballs taken. So my reaction to Dave Roberts, his Dodger manager, saying, hey, I just want to make sure my guy's not getting singled out, that is rule number one of any major league manager. I'm going to protect my player. It happens often when guys throw at batters, for example, and whether the pitcher was at fault or not, you tend to hear managers try to protect their players. It's along those lines for me.
So I pulled this audio from Dave Roberts, which was after the Dodgers game today. And he was obviously talking about making sure that if we're going to sit here and point the finger at one Trevor Bauer, we need to make sure that he's not the only guy and we're just not singling him out. Here's what the Dodgers head coach had to say earlier today. Maybe.
And balls that were in play to collect samples. And, you know, that's kind of what I get from it. I just you know, hope that our player is not singled out. You know, that's the one thing I want to guard against.
Do you feel like he has been singled out?
At this point, yeah.
And why is that? Just because of the report?
I don't know. Just kind of that's the only name I've heard floated around.
Fair point. Fair point, right? I mean, whenever you kind of start digging through the Athletic report, it's really multiple suspicious baseballs from Dodgers. Trevor Bauer sent to Major League Baseball for inspection. Now, I want to throw – and I cover softball a lot. For those that aren't familiar, I'm not going to sit here and wax poetically on how y'all need to follow college softball more. That's not my goal. But in softball, and I think in college baseball this year, they've tried to, with COVID concerns, Steve – have players go away, pitchers specifically, go away from going to their mouths, right? So they've been able to use a substance. I don't know if it's a pine tar substance or what it is.
Well, last year in Major League Baseball, as I recall, there were separate rosin bags even on the mound, and they didn't want players to even go to their mouths off the mound, and they didn't want players to spit and so forth. So, yeah, in line with that kind of thinking, you're correct in the past.
So anyway, I don't know if this might still be a fallout from this. I'll tell you who's been the loudest people on Twitter, Steve. Houston Astros fans, man, they are loving this right now. It's almost as if, oh, look, now everyone wants to get mad at us and look at these pitchers. But again, isn't it like a time-honored tradition, pitchers trying to get an edge in Major League Baseball?
Sure.
What's the old saying? If you're not cheating, you're not trying, and it's only cheating if you got caught.
Which I disagree with, and I'm happy that Major League Baseball is, in theory, going to start actually enforcing its own rules. And this is not a violation. There's no suspension coming down for Trevor Bauer right now. So anybody getting happy about this scrutiny, I repeat, balls are taken out of every game. Major League Baseball has two employees at every ballpark that partly are looking to identify foreign substance violations. People aren't aware of stuff MLB does. For example, you mentioned the Houston Astros. I talked to somebody who worked for MLB. This is two or three seasons ago, and they used to have someone stationed in the video room near the clubhouse, not allowing any player to walk in there during the game to see live video catcher signs and so forth. In fact, the guy that was working for MLB that night in the video room, a player before the game walked past and happened to know this MLB worker and walked in to say hi, and the MLB worker had to immediately say, sorry, but you're not allowed to be here. You have to leave literally right now. And so this guy, this player that he knew, walks away, and I repeat, this was two or three years ago, walks away and says, stinking Astros, and went on to the dugout. Major League Baseball has got a lot of irons in the fire, things that we don't necessarily know. This comes to light, and it points to one of the things that they've got going. This year, it's kind of informational, it seems. Maybe they'll crack down more later.
Well, I'll tell you this much. It's fascinating to think of all the irons, as you mentioned, that baseball has in the fire. Maybe they just need to go ahead and find that PGA rules enforcer that caught touching the grain of sand that again. Then we'll really get some justice here in Major League Baseball.
Or that guy moved a leaf before he struck the ball. You know, those. You know, remember how people used to call in with golf violations? That's another thing.
Why don't we have that in baseball? Oh, could you imagine baseball guy? Oh, my gosh, it would be crazy. So anyway,
at least we are back to players being able to see some video during the games. J.D. Martinez hitting just went in the tank comparatively last year, not looking at video in-game. And now apparently they've got a system where they can block out the catcher signs and you can still see in at bat.
Dealing with the dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Trust me, I'm in the middle of all kinds of weather craziness in the state of Oklahoma. You want to make sure that you're protected globally, worldwide. AutoZone is there for you. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. That's a great deal. And they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution in America's number one battery destination. Let's not let the frustration over baseball's investigation into doctored baseballs take away from a World Series championship celebration. We'll dive into a banner day for Los Angeles next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Are you bringing us back with Gary Clark Jr.? Oh, I was Sam. It's making my night. Wait, we're only 25 minutes into the show. Got to calm down. This is a four-hour haul tonight. And for Jason Smith, I'm Chris Plank. Steve DeSager is hanging out, lead a lap, producing the show. We're going to do a quick little Dodger segment here, very homeristic of me. Of course, Iowa Sam running the show, Justin being our remote guide tonight. This is it takes an army, baby, to put this show on every single night here on Fox Sports Radio, and we're just proud to be a part of it. So, DeSager, before we get into trending and before we dive into Dan Lust after the bottom of the hour, and we have to get a little bit real because we're going to talk about the whole saga involving Deshaun Watson. For me, it was really cool today, and I followed it. I watched it live, then followed it on social media, the reaction. As somebody who – and I'm sorry. Everyone's like, oh, you got to be objective on the air. Yeah, I'm 46 years old, okay? I've watched the Dodgers since I was knee-high, and I lived in St. Louis, and everyone was a Cardinal fan, and I was a Dodger fan, and I'd have to take all their grief whenever they'd beat the snot out of us in the 85 playoffs and Tom Niedenfier and all that other junk. I guess, what was that, Steve? 87, actually? My point is –
Jack Clark, Ozzie Smith.
Colliding with Mike Socha, still one of the scariest moments. I thought Mike Socha was dead, and he was my favorite player, and I was crying, and my mom had to console me. So that's the depth of my fandom. So to me, you know, this whole objectivity went out the window today when I was watching this moment. And there's, you know, the modern era Mr. Dodger, Clayton Kershaw with his ring. And you see a guy like Mookie Betts, who, thank you, Boston, brings a ring to Los Angeles. And then, Steve, the whole kind of cap on it was they were able to celebrate in Chavez Ravine. And even though
with
it was
fans,
limited,
yeah.
Dodger fans were there. I mean, I'm telling you what. There's going to be a ring ceremony for the Lakers, and there's going to be a championship celebration next year in college basketball for the Baylor Bears. And we can go on and on down. But for some reason, whenever you've had the expectations that the Los Angeles Dodgers have had year in and year out, and you've been as close as they've been seemingly over the last decade, year in and year out, pretty special moment today to finally see the ring, to finally see the celebration, and finally see fans there with them. I thought it was great.
The Lakers are going to unveil their banner with fans at the end of the regular season about mid-May. Today, it was banner, rings, opening day flyover, the whole deal, Dodger Stadium. And the ring itself, by the way, it's over 200 diamonds. Each ring. It's just a stunning, big, enormous, obnoxious little thing. But to see Clayton Kershaw specifically, who obviously got one of the biggest hands from the crowd, to see him, one of the nicest guys in the sport, one of the best pitchers in the sport, and he'll go down as one of the best lefty pitchers since Sandy Koufax in this sport, to see him get a World Series ring. I mean, it almost brought a tear to your eye, because this is a first ballot Hall of Famer who so many people had said had done pretty much everything in the sport, even in winning an MVP as a pitcher, except for this. And he was no bystander. He was sensational in the postseason last year. 4-1 record and a low ERA. And remember that crazy World Series game they had where they lost to Tampa Bay and it became 2-2 with the throw home was wide and the Tampa Bay runner had fallen going around third and was able to score anyway. It was just a crushing way to lose a game. Kershaw was on the mound the next night, and it was the definition of greatness in sports, where you can win even when you don't have your best stuff. And that was the case that night, and they took a 3-2 lead, and then the bullpen came through like it never had before in game number 6, and Mookie Betts and company won the title. It was a great, great afternoon. And then with the actual game, a 1-0 win over Washington, I will say the Nationals got 4 players back, reinstated today. They're still missing a few players, though, due to COVID protocols.
Yeah, and they gave the Dodgers everything they could handle. But the Dodgers get the win as we roll on a Friday night with Steve DeSager. I'm Chris Plank. We're filling in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. And when there's legal issues afoot, I turn to Dan Lust at Sports Law Lust on Twitter. Detrimental podcast, easy for me to say. Dan, first and foremost, appreciate your time again. You're probably tired of me bugging you, and I know you're busy on a Friday night, so we won't keep you long. But what'd you think of Rusty Harden's approach today? What'd you think of the press conference? Did it answer any questions?
Chris, I live, eat, and breathe sports law. I will never get tired of talking about this case. It's so fascinating. Here's my overall take first, and I think, as you know, I think that this case is a little bit of a circus, and I think that's because of Tony Busby that's over on the victim side. Now, I kind of like that Rusty Harden was kind of laying back and letting Busby, and I'll say this, kind of putting his foot in his mouth. But we'll say Rusty Harden kind of pulled a Tony Busby today. A lot of things that I wouldn't have recommended that he said. And, you know, he's kind of trying to play Tony Busby's game, and that's not supposed to be Rusty Harden. So, yeah, I don't know. I was a little surprised by this whole shenanigans today. It really was kind of a surprise, I think, to a lot of people.
Dan, this is Steve. The comment from the lawyer had been that, you know, any allegation that Deshaun Watson forced a woman to commit an act is completely false. Does this mean we're actually headed to some sort of trial later on? Because if there's a settlement, we've already talked about court of public opinion earlier in the show, settlements tend to sway court of public opinion, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the truth is this. There are very few cases that go to a trial. I mean, if you guys watch Law & Order, every case goes to trial, but that's not really the case. Like 0.1% of cases will go to trial, and that's going to require where someone just, it doesn't make sense for them to settle, right? And so Watson kind of has that. If he settled any of these cases, it's going to look really bad, and it's kind of an all-or-nothing deal. He's going to settle all of them or none of them. But here's the other part of it, right? Like, Watson has enough money to take the case to trial, so that's big. But I think the elephant in the room, if you believe Tony Busby, it's not about money for his client. So if it's not about money, like, why are they settling these cases? Why are they letting Deshaun Watson off the hook? It's really about making an example out of him. They'd want this to go to trial. They'd love this spectacle. And maybe that now it all makes sense of why, as to why they hired Tony Busby, the guy that's making a spectacle of this whole thing.
You know, I heard you with Doug earlier today, and it was interesting whenever the question was brought up about, hey, why don't you just settle the 22 civil cases? But what Tony Busby has tried to almost go out of his way, right, Dan, and say this isn't about money?
He's been very clear that it's not about money, because everyone kept saying, hey, this is a money grab, and you're bringing it up, you know, in March of 2021 when it stands to hurt Watson the most, and some of these allegations are from March of 2020. So Busby does this little version, and Chris, you know, I call them Busbyisms. When he just says something, I don't even know if he means it, but he can't walk it back. And in the world that we live in of social media, everything's being recorded, and he's getting caught in these little white lies. So he said the case is not about money. And then in the next, you know, on the left side of his mouth, he's saying that. And then the right side of his mouth, he's saying, oh, well, I also might bring in the Texans, you know, this billion-dollar pocket for purposes of the lawsuit. So you never really know what to believe with Busby, but if he goes ahead and accepts a settlement, it's going to look, again, like really hypocritical. And, again, I don't, doesn't make his clients look better if you have your attorney saying it's not about money, and all of a sudden you take the money. And now, guys, I think this is the news of the day, when all of these women are now going to have to go public with their names.
Yeah.
So I know, I think it's definitely weighing on the case, these little Busby again, Busbyisms. I'll trademark that once we're off the podcast.
This gets to my next question, actually, is how do you explain to an outsider, me, for example, that a couple judges rule that some of these plaintiffs suing Deshaun Watson have to identify themselves? Haven't we always heard in the past that that's like a second strike against someone who may not have been asking for the violation in the first place and then gets drugged through the mug because now they have to go public? How do we rectify this, these judges' rulings on not all the people that are filing suit, but some?
So I guess my understanding is that the rest of these, so there's 22 civil lawsuits total, 12 or 13 have actually, they've ruled that they had to disclose their identity. So I think the other, you know, the other nine are going to come and they're going to have the same ruling. There's something, if any lawyers are listening, there's something called stare decisis, which is a very fancy way of saying if the court decides one way in a similar case, they're going to have to decide that way again. So unless there's some extenuating circumstances that come up, all 22 are going to get the same type of treatment. Now, if everyone's sitting there and they're wondering, why doesn't it seem strange that these people that are, you know, accusers and they're, you know, alleged victims of sexual assault, why they have to go public? I practice law in New York, and my firm also has an office in California. It's not that typical. If anything, right, in the way that I've tried cases, I've defended sexual assault cases, and I'm pretty, I've done them before. And what generally happens in most states is that the person can stay private. In terms of, you know, someone looks up the court docket, they're not going to see whose name it is. It's going to say anonymous. But the person who they're suing is going to be able to know who they are. And there's some confidentiality order, there's a sealing order. But the person who's getting sued has a right to figure out who's suing them. But nobody else needs to know that. Texas is kind of, I guess, has the opposite rule that says that the public has a right to know anytime there's a sexual assault lawsuit, who is suing and who is getting sued. Which I think is the worst of both worlds. Like, I don't know necessarily why this needs to be public knowledge, but if anything, I don't necessarily need to know who the accusers are. So I don't know. It's kind of strange. It's definitely what we call the minority rule. It's a rule that most states don't follow, but here we are. I mean, that's the jurisdiction we fell in.
Hey, a couple more quick ones, Dan. We'll let you get out of here. Dan Lust is our guest at Sports Law Lust on Twitter, and you need to find out about his podcast as well, too, Conduct Detrimental, which we'll talk about before we get out of here, too. But first, so what's next? What's the next step here in this whole process, Dan?
I mean, the truth is, like, we're kind of playing the waiting game for the police to step in here, and the police and the DA's office to really announce whether or not they're going to bring criminal charges. I've told you this, Chris. I think there's enough right now to put Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list. I really do think that. That's called paid leave. You know, it's a world where he's just not on the field, but he's getting money. Now, the next question and the bigger one is, will Deshaun Watson actually get an NFL suspension where he's taken off the field and not paid? Because that's, you know, at the end of the day, it's about money.
Right.
So where do we go from here, right? The first step was the sponsors leaving, and that sends a very big message to the NFL. What are they going to do? And they're going to wait to see if criminal charges are brought. And I've been very vocal about this.
If criminal charges are brought by the DA's office, that means they're very confident that they can get a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt is very hard. And if that comes down, the NFL is going to say, hey, we have a much lower standard in our, you know, in our personal conduct policy. We're gonna probably suspend the guy. And I think, you know, this is for everyone that's following this. Nike's got to defend the swoosh, right? That's why they've dropped Watson. And the NFL, as we know, they defend the shield. So it would be very odd if Nike suspends him, but the NFL does not.
Last question for me. Do you have, as a sports lawyer, an opinion on the long-term future? Because I know when this started to, quote, get serious, the Watson case, some people are thinking, oh, I remember Michael Vick, and it seemed like, you know, he was never going to play in the NFL again. Truth is, he was off for a couple of years and wound up spending many more years in the NFL, including as a starter in the NFL. What do you see, even if he's suspended, say, for this season, Deshaun Watson?
So, two things. Allegations are allegations. And then there's, you know, then there's what happens after the investigation is over. So Michael Vick obviously was found guilty. And then there's a guy on the other hand that maybe we don't talk about as much. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger once upon a time had some very messy allegations and came back, and we don't talk about them anymore. So,
right.
You know, it's a sad truth, but talent wins out. If you are that talented, you will find a place in the NFL. Now, these are a little bit messier. I mean, they're probably closer to Roethlisberger than they are Mike Vick. But Mike Vick, you know, those are some pretty messy PR claims, and he came back and he played, you know, 5-6 years in the NFL after that. So I think there's a world where Deshaun Watson gets suspended for this upcoming season. I do believe that. But do I think that Watson is done in the NFL? No chance. With a guy that's 25 years old, one of the top quarterbacks in the league, you hate to say it, but talent in the NFL wins out. And, you know, as messy as this is, you'd hope the guy's playing career is not over. I don't think we can say that. But, you know, at the end of the day, guys, still, the burden is going to be on the plaintiffs to prove their case. And we really haven't even touched a courtroom. These are all allegations. So, you know, you ask me worst case scenario, that's probably it. But, you know, we're still a ways away.
Incredible stuff. Always love talking to you, Daniel. Have a great evening. Everyone go follow Dan on Twitter at Sports Law Lust. Check out his podcast, Conduct Detrimental. It's incredibly informative and educational. And we look forward to catching up with you again soon, man. Appreciate you coming on again.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Love that dude. Love that dude.
Hey, one thing, Chris Plank, before the break.
Do we have to talk about this, or do you want to risk jinxing this, or
no,
what?
No. Let me say first and foremost, because there's always somebody that brings this up. Vin Scully was not only the greatest baseball announcer in history, but probably called more no-hitters in history. And he always, I mean always, pointed out if a no-hitter was in progress.
Correct.
There is no such thing as the jinx. There is, however, if you're a teammate, actually saying it to the pitcher himself who's going to retake the mound, absolutely it's a real thing. I, on the other hand, sitting in this studio, have no such power. So to update you on the no-hit bid, the Padres acquired a pitcher this year who is a San Diego native. Joe Musgrove had been with the Pirates. He's starting for the Padres at Texas tonight. San Diego's up 3-0. Musgrove now through 8 innings has a no-hitter with 10 strikeouts and no walks. He got a ground out, and line out in the bottom of the eighth. So the game's in the top of the ninth, 3-0. He has hit one batter, so it's not a perfect game bid. He's thrown 103 pitches through eight.
So we will keep tabs on a potential no-no in Major League Baseball as we roll on in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. He's Steve DeSager. I'm Chris Plank. I was Sam, Lee, Justin. The whole crew is here on a Friday night on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. 86, the Jason Smith. Mike's out tonight, too. So with Steve DeSager, I'm Chris Plank, getting to hang out with you. Nice, fun night here on Fox Sports Radio. And I mean, DeSager, are we going to get to witness history? Are we going to get to witness something that's never happened?
That's right. Can you guess the one franchise in baseball that's never thrown a no-hitter? That would be the San Diego Padres, who've existed for 50 years and not thrown a single no-hitter. The Dodgers have thrown apparently 26 in their long history. There is a San Diego native, no less, that has started the bottom of the ninth inning at Texas right now, and he's throwing a no-hitter.
So
Joe
cool.
Musgrove, ex of the Pirates, is up 3-0, so bottom cool. of the ninth. Line drive to second is the first out. We have one out in the ninth.
I'm juiced right now. I actually have a friend of mine that's in the stands tonight.
Are you kidding?
He is a diehard Padres fan that lives somehow in Oklahoma. I guess maybe people say the same thing about me. It's like, wait a minute, dude, you're a diehard Dodgers fan and you live in Oklahoma. How does that happen? But he is a diehard Padres fan. Yes, they exist. And he lives in Oklahoma, and he's down there tonight for the game and finally got my feet up. Man, that took a while. All right, so we are in the bottom of the ninth inning, a no-no. Potentially, I thought Jake Cronenworth just had a base hit. That's absolutely unbelievable, the play that was made by the second baseman. So
Cronenworth playing second tonight, and now it's the number nine hitter for Texas up, by the way, with one out, bottom of the ninth.
So Justin was sharing this note. San Diego's 8,206 regular season games are the last active franchise without a no-hitter.
And, of course, the previous team that was on that list of, my goodness, they've never thrown the no-hitter, was Jason Smith's Mets, who finally got one. I mean, teams like Colorado and Tampa Bay, more recent, yeah, they have just one in their histories. But the Padres, literally zero in 50 years now, 50 years plus of existence.
I will say I do appreciate that the I guess this is what, on Valley Sports San Diego, that they are not by in any way shying away from the fact that he has the no-no. Now, if I'm actually looking, I don't know which feed I have.
That is because that's the Fox Sports influence. When they owned all those regional networks, they used to do that on the graphic. And I bet part of that was because the Angels announcer, ex-Angels announcer, Victor Rojas, used to actually refuse to do his own job and tell people that there was a no-hitter in progress. Ground ball to the pitcher. That's two outs. He tags the batter. Two away in the bottom of the ninth.
I cannot believe this. Of all the things, and again, this it's no knock on Texas or on San Diego, but of all the things I didn't think we'd be talking about is Joe Musgrove taking a no-hitter into the ninth with two outs against the Rangers, and yet here we are. there's a lot of Padre fans.
And I repeat, he is a San Diego native from Grossmont High School, a team I played against when I was playing high school baseball. So he's he's in his second start literally in a Padres uniform. Granted, it's not a home game, but still, it's about, you know, the stuff dreams are made of. Padre fans, there are a couple of guys that in the early 70s came very close to no-hitters, one with two outs in the ninth that was broken up. But aside from that, there haven't been a whole long string of, boy, he came really close to pitching. No, not even that. So ground ball. That's it! No-hitter for the Padres! They're celebrating on the mound. Joe Musgrove with 112 pitches, and it's the first no-hitter in Padres history.
How about that? All right, Padre fans, you can let Scott Shapiro know that Steve and I probably need to fill in every single night because nights in which DeSager and Plank have filled in for Jason and Mike on Fox Sports Radio, not only are the Padres 1-0, but they've also thrown the first no-hitter in franchise history.
And this was so close to a perfect game. He hit a batter in the bottom of the fourth. That was the only base runner.
How about that? We'll talk more about it when we come back on a busy Friday night. John Middlecoff talking draft next hour, too, on Fox Sports Radio.